Hey, welcome everybody to another Previews here at Capes and Scows, where I, Tim, tell you what I think you should be checking out on the previews every month and try to help you and your local comic book store order better and make sure you don't miss out on what you want. I can't stress enough how important this is for stores, especially the smaller the store. They can't afford to have books sitting on the shelf or not being picked up, so we just want everybody to get the best books possible. Now, today's previews is sponsored, in fact, by Superliminal Films. If you haven't been checking out part two of Double Max Monday, you're doing it wrong. It comes out later on Monday nights, usually after like 9 or 10 o'clock. It is up, and you can enjoy Double the Max voice to put you at ease so you can go to sleep and wake up happier and harder than ever before. All right, let's get going. All right, we're going to start with Marvel. Now, we're going to start with Thor number one. This is being written by Donny Cates, who I've called the next Tom King, and it seems like Marvel listened. We've got art by Nick Klein. I'm curious to see how Donny Cates does this. He's done some pretty good darker stories, so maybe the Thor stuff will be just as good. But I mean, he's done the cosmic stuff with Thanos, with Guardians of the Galaxy. He's done horror with Absolute Carnage, and he wrote Venom. Just a lot of good stuff. Thor isn't necessarily in that same vein, although it can be. So I'm curious to see what Cates does with it. But that's definitely my top first pick here. Most potential. Next up, we have Guardians of the Galaxy number one, which I know probably turns a lot of people off because we just had one. It was the Donny Cates run that was like 12 issues that I just mentioned. And it was a pretty beloved run because everybody liked his take on it. Well, this is Al Ewing, and Al Ewing writing is maybe the greatest thing that could possibly happen. He is, of course, your writer of Immortal Hulk. I think the man can do no wrong. I feel like Marvel just likes giving him weird properties, and he just knocks it out of the park, and now they're like, all right, here you go. You did well with the Hulk, which had been prior not doing super well. Let's give you the Guardians. And if you're going to go to anybody after Cates, it's got to be Al Ewing. That's a very good pick. Next, we have Iron Man 2020, a weird, weird futuristic story. This is going to be written by Dan Slott and Christos Gage, which is kind of exciting. We got Pete Woods on the art. Pete Woods. He's really good. If you're not familiar with him, for shame. But this is a future artificial intelligence story, a robot rebellion, and it has a future Stark. I always liked the design of this costume, but I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. So it is worth pointing out here, the runes of Ravencroft. Ravencroft essentially looks like a horror title, and I'm assuming Ravencroft is going to be the Marvel equivalent of Arkham Asylum. You have a bunch of tie-in books, which is The Ruins of Ravencroft, Dracula, Sabretooth, and Carnage. Potential is really here, and it's all the same writer, Frank Thierry, who I enjoy. You have many different artists on this, but Frank Thierry is really good. He is also writing the Ravencroft miniseries, which is issue one of five comes out this month. Tying in with this is a bunch of one-shots. I assume characters that are going to appear in this series. These are True Believers, so these are dollar comic reprints, and I think this is such a cool thing to see. You get the first Bullseye reprinted, the first Green Goblin, the first Masters of Evil, and the first Bushman, yeah, Moon Knight number one, getting a reprint from 1980. That made me so happy. Like, I need more of those, but yes. Sticking with True Believers just for a moment, Daredevil number four is getting a True Believer treatment. That is your first Purple Man if you ever wanted to see that character's origins. Next up, I'm going to recommend Star number one of five. This is Kelly Thompson. I think Kelly Thompson is fantastic. She has Javier Pina as the artist. And the Star, if you're not familiar, is a new character flying out of Captain Marvel. And this next recommendation, I don't know that it'll be good, but just looking at this art, it makes my heart happy to see something so silly and potentially great. And that's Weapon Plus, World War IV, number one, written by Benjamin Percy, art by George Giannetti. And it is a cover art of Man-Thing doing his best Sergeant Rock impersonation with a triple Gatling gun, bullets wrapped all around him. It's super 90s looking, but like, you know, better art than that. I don't know, man. I don't know what it's about, but I'm curious enough to just say, even if this is awful, I'm probably going to love Man-Thing with a triple railgun. Heading back to Kelly Thompson for a moment, we got Jessica Jones, which will be a six-issue miniseries. One and two will come out in this month. And Matea de Ilus, Eus. It's probably pronounced so very different than that. But some new Jessica Jones sounds great. I feel like Jessica Jones has kind of been in a limbo since Bendis left. I think Kelly Thompson is the perfect writer to try to tackle her next, and hopefully hopefully this team gets it done. And another miniseries, Marvel and their miniseries these months, Hawkeye Freefall. Issues 1 and 2 both come out this month. It was a 5-issue mini. It is Matthew Rosenberg, who is fantastic. He is writing, and the art is Otto Schmidt. It's a pretty good combo. I like Rosenberg. I met Rosenberg. Super sweet guy, so I just want the world for him. And it is male Hawkeye, and it looks like male Hawkeye taking on a new Ronin. Who the hell is Ronin this time? There you go. Now here's a book that has potential, but I'm on the fence about, but I think it's definitely worth you making your own personal judgment call on, is Web of Venom, The Good Son, number one, written by Zach Thompson and Diajon Neves? Yeah, I don't know. As your artist, I'm so bad with names, it's almost a... It's adorable, isn't it? But basically, this is Normie Osborn and Dylan Brock, the sons of the Green Goblin and the son of Venom, and they're interacting after the fallout of Absolute Carnage. So if you enjoyed Absolute Carnage and you want to see where we're going with that, this is where we're going. But then again, it's not Donny Cates writing it, not that there's anything wrong with Zach Thompson, but I think you have to be really into these characters in this story to want to keep going with this. It looks cool. I love the whole legacy of the goblins, especially. So I'm curious to see where this will go. Next up, Marvel's Spider-Man, The Black Cat Strikes, number 1 of 5. Again, miniseries, miniseries, miniseries. This ties into the Gamerverse, introducing the Black Cat into the comic side of this. And if you're all in on the Gamerverse, which most of those books have been pretty good, pretty solid, here you are. And next up is a new Star Wars number 1. Don't let that turn you off. It is With Reason. Issues 1 and 2 will come out this month. It's written by Charles Soule, who wrote a good portion of the Star Wars books that came out prior, and Jesus Saez as your art. Basically, they renumbered it with a new number 1 because they reached Empire Strikes Back, so then these books are between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Hopefully it goes a good long time, just like the last Star Wars run did. Maybe we'll get some new tie-ins. I'm very excited for this, so hopefully this remains excellent. And now for a really cool hardcover with some issues that are tougher to find, even in reprints. I don't see it too often. This is a hardcover. It's a $75 hardcover, so please keep that in mind. But it's 448 pages. It is Amazing Fantasy Omnibus hardcover. It's a new printing of this. It has the Ditko cover. There's also a variant cover redoing the art. But I mean, come on, man, Ditko. If you're not familiar, it's Amazing Adult Fantasy 1 through 14. And then there was one other issue. It was issue 15. It might have been Amazing Fantasy 15. And that's your first Spider-Man, and that's it. So it's a super cool book. Yeah, if you're ever confused, it's Amazing Adventures 1 through 6, Amazing Adult Fantasy 7 through 14, and then Amazing Fantasy number 15. And that's your run. It got renamed twice during that. These ran from 61 to 62. They're very iconic. It's cool monster kind of stuff leading into Spider-Man. So I think this is amazing. I definitely want it. We'll see if my pocketbook allows it. Worth pointing out is new in trade, you have Arrow and Swordmaster, which are two, I believe they're the first two that came out, of the Agents of Atlas one-shot minis and whatnot. Arrow was 1 through 6, A-E-R-O, and then Swordmaster, same deal, 1 through 6. These are your Agent of Atlas, your Korean characters. A lot of fun. These both have kind of an amazing anime-inspired art style. I think if you're into that, how can you go wrong? These were just good. These were just good introduction of new characters. Whether or not each individual one is for you, that's for you to decide, but I like that they made a bunch of new characters, and none of them are necessarily bad, so that's fun. Also new in trade, Age of Conan, Valeria. That miniseries was pretty good. I did enjoy it. It was written by Meredith Finch, and I like little side stories in the Conan universe. They're always a blast. Now we go to Fantastic Four's Epic Collection, The Coming of Galactus, Volume 3 in the Fantastic Four Epic Collection. This is getting a new printing. Perhaps it was out for a little bit. It's coming back. This is issues 33 through 51 and Annual 3. So that is giving you all the Galactus stuff and all the Surfer stuff. And this will lead you up to Black Panther in the next volume, I gotta imagine. Black Widow has three trades in this this particular previews: the Web of Black Widow, Black Widow Widowmaker, and Black Widow Epic Collection Beware the Black Widow. Now that's the one I highly recommend, because the Black Widow has a ton of appearances in other books before she was used a little predominantly on her own. She had a lot of Spider-Man and a lot of Daredevil appearances, and then was thrown later into the Avengers. This covers a plethora of that. 424 pages, can't go wrong. Really sweet, and if you like the character, to see her origins, very fun. Taskmaster gets his own trade, which is weird. But Taskmaster, since he's coming out in a movie somewhere, we've got a bunch of appearances from him, and they range from the serious to the not at all serious. So that's something to enjoy. And finally, for Marvel, I have Adventures of the X-Men Tooth and Claw graphic novel trade paperback. This has a bunch of writers and artists on it, but what it essentially is in the 90s, when the X-Men cartoon came out, Spider-Man had a magazine, and these were backup stories in that. And a lot of these didn't see the light of day. You had to be paying attention to a completely different character's magazine. So now they're finally collected, and it has that animation style to it. I think this is a must-have for any X-Men fans who discovered them thanks to that really bitchin' song in the front of that cartoon. Now we're over on DC. We have Birds of Prey, number one, written by Brian Azzarello. Does it get much better than that? It really doesn't. Your art is by Emanuela Lupacino, and then Ray McCarthy as well. Covers by Ivan Reyes. So Birds of Prey is going to be all up in your face for a while. This is apparently a prestige format one shot. That means black label, and it probably means magazine size. Keep that in mind if you hate that format. Next, we go to Daphne Byrne, number one. This is part of Joe Hill's Hill House Comics, and this features Kelly Jones on art, which he's great. Laura Marx is a newcomer to comics. She wrote for TV for The Good Fight. It is a 19th century New York story with a girl with perhaps a demon inside of her. It looks really spooky and gothic and just creepy from the art. You got Kelly Jones, so it's probably going to be good. Next, we got Superman Heroes, written by Brian Michael Bendis, Matt Fraction, Jody Houser, and Greg Rucka. Why, that's a good combo. It's everybody working on Superman-themed books at the moment. You've got a bunch of art from Kevin McGuire, Mike Perkins, Steve Lieber, I love, and a cover by Brian Hitch. This is the reactionary one-shot to Superman revealing his identity, which is happening, if not already, in the books. And it's kind of like everybody's reaction. I hope some people are happy, some people are mad, some people are pissed. That's what I want, and hopefully that's what I get. DC has a great facsimile edition coming out. These are not your dollar books. These are your $3.99 reprints. But it is Detective Comics number 359, the first appearance of Batgirl. That story is great if you've never read it, so this is your chance to do it on the cheap and enjoy a very good classic story. Next up for our young readers, we have Batman Overdrive trade paperback, written by Shea Fontana, art by Marcelo DiChiara. DiChiara? Hey, maybe. This is a young Bruce Wayne story where he's kind of like a mechanic, and it's him learning to be Batman and fixing up the Batmobile out of a junk car. And I mean, you can only call it alternate reality, I assume, but it looks like a fun introduction to kids who aren't quite sure about Batman. It won't be the correct story, perhaps, but it will be something that will get kids into reading, which is way more important. Speaking of young readers, we have a new DC Superhero Girls trade called Powerless. The art has changed. The art is by Agnes Garbowska, and it's written by Amy Wolfram. The other ones did really well. I have yet to get any hard data on these, but they look good. They kind of look like the animation style of the cartoon shorts that appeared on Cartoon Network. I don't know if that's exactly the same artist, but it looks fun. It looks cool. It's more of the same, which is exactly what you need, because they haven't broken a bad formula yet. This one should get people excited. The Oracle Code, trade paperback by Marik Nakamp and Manuel Partano. This is an Oracle story, which is so fantastic. Everybody loves Barbara Gordon in the wheelchair as an empowered, handy, capable character, and you get to see, this skews young adult. It's a little more, it's not one of the kids ones, but I think this is going to be great. I know everybody really loves Barbara Gordon in that role, so it's good to get a little more of that. Tying in with Birds of Prey, your dollar comics from DC, you have a ton, a absolute ton of Birds of Prey themed dollar reprints, including the first Harley Quinn in Batman Adventures 12. That's probably the big one. You also have Catwoman, Huntress, and Black Canary themed issues as well. If you've never read it, we have Ex Machina Compendium 1 trade paperback by BKV, Brian K. Vaughan. You know, that guy that wrote Saga you love so much. With art by Tony Harris and Chris Sprouse. This is a very interesting story. It is now under Black Label. I assume Why the Last Man would be as well. But this does not take place in the standard DCU, and it is an interesting book. Most people really dig it. Some people harp on the end. I think it's really good. I kind of want to reread it. I don't know that I ever actually finished it. So re-releasing this book, definitely get in on it. It's a good one. Legion of Superheroes, The Road to Legion trade paperback, written by Brian Michael Bendis with a slew of artists, pretty much everybody great. This is going to collect Superman 14, 15, Supergirl 33, Legion of Superheroes Millennium 1 and 2. Doesn't sound like a lot, but some of those issues were huge, so you're getting a 144-page trade. I appreciate them trying to reintroduce the Legion of Superheroes. Hopefully it all goes well. We also have Famous First Edition, New Fun, number 1 hardcover. This is for just the most hardcore of comic fans. This is a reprint of the very first DC comic in a big ol' hardcover. This was written in February of 1935. It is a Jack Woods cowboy story on the cover, but you've got a bunch of different stories inside. Every kind of genre you can imagine, including aircraft. How fun. Tales of the Dark Multiverse hardcover comes out this month, featuring all those one-shots. So far, Death of Superman is the one I've enjoyed the most, but they're not all out as of me recording this, so we'll see what happens. And then finally for DC, I got a DC Artist Alley Aquaman vinyl figure. It's just so cool and weird looking. It's got its own kind of style, and it just speaks to me. I kind of like it. I like the dead eyes he's got going on here. So something different for you besides comics. There's only 5,000 pieces. They're individually numbered, so it's a cool thing. A little pricey at $75. I probably want that adult fantasy hardcover more, but I mean, I can't deny how friggin' awesome this thing is. Now we're on to the big book. We're starting with Image, and I've got Sex Criminals, number 26. Tim, why is issue 26 so important? This is the beginning of the final arc of the series. If you're unfamiliar with it, it's written by Matt Fraction with art by Chip Zdarsky. This is kind of what broke Chip into mainstream. My God, this book is so silly and awesome all at the same time. You do have your Triple X variant if you're into that, and it is Jason Latour, so it's probably great. They always crack me up, but of course, they're not for you, kids. Do not look at them, kids. Why would you do that, kids? People don't order these for kids. Next up, we have a 4-issue miniseries. Issue 1 comes out this month of The Clock, written by Matt Hawkins with art by Colleen Doran. I love Matt Hawkins. I'm pretty sure he's the smartest man in the room most times. And I like a good thinky kind of story in between all my super heroic schlock. Here it will not disappoint me. This is a miniseries dealing with a viral outbreak where many people get an aggressive form of cancer suddenly, and the race to try to stop it and figure it out. That really makes you wonder if big business can actually solve this problem right now, doesn't it? I guess it makes you think. Next up, we have a trade. It is The Complete Witchblade, Volume 1. If you enjoy Witchblade, which over the years has had many good writers, Warren Ellis, David Finch, David Wohl, lots of people, lots of good people have gone through, and the art, Michael Turner, Mark Silvestri, Tony Daniel, David Finch again, Billy Tan. So many good people have been on Witchblade. I mean, it came out during that whole tits and ass kind of thing that was happening in comics, but I think it kind of evolved beyond that, despite the costume. Next up, we have a new miniseries for Stranger Things, Into the Fire. This is issue 1 of 4. It is written by Jody Hauser with art by Ryan Kelly. If you love these little bonus stories of Stranger Things, you must read. I've read the original one, which tied in what Will was going through while he was trapped on the other side. That was super good. We will see. I don't know if all of these are going to be great, but if you love the universe, I mean, what's wrong with having a little more? Hellboy Winter Special 2019, written by Mike Mignola, a slew of artists, and we have basically just a Christmas horror kind of theme, winter kind of horror theme. Last year's was super good, Anytime Swamp Thing or Hellboy get a special, I'm in. This should not disappoint. Next up, Apocalyptic Girl, an aria for the end times. This is a reprint, now in hardcover. It was a smaller digest version originally. This book I've actually reviewed before. This book is fantastic. It's Andrew McLean, who would go on to do Headlopper, amongst other things. I think the guy's great. He can write and draw. He does all of it here. Please check this out, because it's pretty good. And one of my most recommended books, No One Left to Fight, coming out in trade by Aubrey Sitterson and Fico Oso. $20 trade. It is essentially Dragon Ball Z, lovingly homaged. I can't begin to tell you how cool this book is. It's kind of like if Goku beats everybody and then has PTSD. It's so good. It's so very good. Please read it. Next up, Ghostbusters Year One, number one of four. This is focusing on the first year of characters as they are introduced into the fold of Ghostbusters. The first one will feature Winston, as he's the first actual hiree once they were established, and it talks about his first year. This has got a lot of potential. I don't know if they're going to focus on the other Ghostbusters or if they're going to focus on tertiary characters. I'm not sure. But I think it's a good idea and a good concept. Written by Eric Burnham, art by Dan Schoening. Next up, Glow vs. the Babyface, number three. Now, I missed out on something with this, even though I always tell you Glow's fun and the books are always pretty good, too. I missed out who's helping write this book. Amy Garcia is your main writer, but your co-writer is AJ Mendez. And if you're not familiar with her, she was AJ Lee in WWE. She is CM Punk's wife. She's written a book, which is really cool, and I've been meaning to pick up. So you have an actual wrestler helping with the Glow book. I love everything about it. Your art is Hannah Templer. Please check this out. If you enjoy Glow, it's like Stranger Things. If you love it, you will love this. And if you're lukewarm on it, this could put you over. But I like that there's a wrestler helping out. Next, a very popular book that sold out very quickly. It's Kanto, Volume 1, If I Only Had a Heart. This is written by David Boer, B-O-O-H-E-R, and art by Drew Zucker. The art is great. It's kind of like a super deformed clockwork little dude. All the characters have had their hearts replaced with clocks, and it's like a weird dark fairy tale. It very much feels like Dark Crystal kind of universe. It is the write-up says it's inspired by Wizard of Oz and Dante's Inferno. Part fantasy, part adventure, all heart. This is all six issues. Like I said, this was a surprise hit. Not surprised that it's good. It's just a surprise hit that you just could not find these books. So I didn't manage to read the first two. I did not finish it, but I would love to read this. Next up, we have George R.R. Martin's A Clash of Kings, number one. This is, I believe, the second series of this, and this will tie into some of the stuff you saw in the Game of Thrones TV show, since that's what most people's introduction to this was, and then gone back and read the books or not. The comics can be quite gruesome, just like the show. And if that's what you're into, this is a great jumping on point. You'll be familiar with everything going forward. Next up, Heavy Vinyl, Y2KO, original graphic novel. This is written by Carly Usden, illustrated by Nina Vacuva. We're going with that. Heavy Vinyl was another surprise hit. It originally had a different title. I want to say it was Heavy Metal Fight Club or something. They changed it to Heavy Vinyl. It's going to be a show or a movie or something, like all things. But this was pretty good. I remember reading the first issue, and it is kind of goes all over the place. But this is definitely something that I think a lot of people who enjoy music and maybe aren't as into comics, this is a gateway book. This is perfect if you want to get somebody into comics. From Kaboom, we have Ben 10, The Manchester Mystery. This is another original graphic novel. If you never want Ben 10 out of your life, here is some more new Ben 10, written by C.B. Lee and illustrated by Francesca Perrone. I mean, what else can I say? If you love Ben 10, hear more. All right, now I'm going to Ablaze Comics, which features Kids Number One, K-I-D-Z. This is Kids Go on Adventure, but more gruesome, more cursey. This is Goonies if it was rated R, probably. It is kids trying to survive a zombie outbreak where most of their parents have been murdered. It looks pretty interesting. It's got great variant covers talking about harkening back to specific horror movies. It looks good. I'm not sure how dark it'll be, if it'll be too dark for a certain age group, but it looks good. So check it out. Make a judgment call. Here's another trade that I really enjoyed. I read this miniseries, Killer Groove, by Ollie Masters and Aeon Marin, with some Jordy Belair thrown in. This book was awesome. It's 1970s Los Angeles, and it's just really good stuff. I love Ollie Masters. He also did The Kitchen, which is now going to be a show or a movie again, everything, like I said. But this book was pretty good. I liked the weird take on it, and how it was kind of gruesome at times. Check it out. If you got a little one in the house, there's a bunch of new Golden books. Yes, those Golden books, the ones with the cool little spine that you remember from being a child. You have Black Widow getting her own little Golden book, which is pretty awesome. And you also have a bunch of new Disney ones. Predominantly, I'm focusing on the Frozen ones. There's an Elsa and an Anna one to coincide with Frozen 2's release. Over at Valiant, we have Quantum and Woody number one. This is a 5-issue miniseries written by Christopher Hastings. It's got Ryan Brown art. If you're not familiar with Ryan Brown, just look at his art and you'll be in. His art is so fantastic, and that alone puts me in. But Hastings is good too, so we'll see what we get. I love Quantum and Woody. If you love Quantum and Woody, we just talked to James Asmus, the first Valiant writer of that book when they relaunched. Go check it out. Go check out some Quantum and Woody. And then finally, our last item up for discussion today is actually Funko Pops. All four of the members of the movie Tombstone have been immortalized in vinyls. And I'm not a huge pop guy, but I want all four of these because Tombstone is one of my favorite movies of all time. If you haven't seen Tombstone, stop this and go watch it. Actually, we're almost done here. Let it play out. Don't be a jerk. And that is it. Thank you. I hope this has helped you. I hope that you are capable of making decisions based off these opinions. You kind of know what I like. You kind of know if you agree with me or not. It kind of helps you, and I would hope, to choose what you want out of the previews. Remember, help your store. Order early. Reorder as quickly as possible. It benefits you. It benefits them. It keeps your brick and mortar around a lot longer. Increases the lifeline there. Thanks again to Superliminal Films. Make sure you check them out. They have a ton of podcasts, a ton of videos, a ton of everything. They're just great people. And I love them. So that is it. Make sure you head over to Teespring and get yourself a Teeth Crawl t-shirt if you so desire. And that will be one of your most and best ways to directly support the podcast. And I am Ben Tim. I'll see you guys around. If you want to yell at me, @mad_dog_Tim on Twitter. Later, everybody.